District Court of the Glenn Fry has died at the age of 67.
Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got 7 women on my mind. 4 that want to own me, 2 that want to stone me, 1 says she's a friend of mine. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels.
Greg Kot is the rock and roll writer for the Chicago Tribune. I can hear the colonel spinning in his grave right now, just thinking about that, the rock and roll writer for the Chicago Tribune. But you know who else is spinning right now is Jackson Browne, who always gets mad that he doesn't get credited for that song, since he was the primary writer of it. But Glenn Fry is the guy who made it into it, changed it and made it into a hit, essentially. And now this is I think a bit of a surprise to most of the public that they knew that almost all those guys, Randy Meisner specifically, had been very, very ill. Eagles have run into, health problems as they've gotten older, but I don't think anybody thought it was this bad, did they?
I guess we got the inkling that when they canceled those Kennedy Center Honors performance they were supposed to do that December 6th. And like a month out, they said, we're not going to make it because Glenn Fry is going through these major intestinal issues, and he's going to have some major surgery, and it's going to take a while to recover. So there was an inkling that something was seriously wrong. But he had had these issues for a long time. When the Eagles reunited for the first time in the 90s, they had to take some time off in the middle of that reunion tour in the mid-90s because Fry had a recurrence of these intestinal issues. So it had been sort of an ongoing thing for him, mm-hmm. but I don't think anybody expected it to lead to his death.
Yeah, and it's funny because we're getting to the moment with the loss of two giants right now within a week. We were just talking about this with you, how you it's sort of an unhappy 2016 so far because there have been a number of notable deaths in music, but two giants now with David mm-hmm. Bowie and Glenn Fry.
Yeah.
Within short order. And I guess you wonder at that point, you're seeing people die of rather natural causes. Our rock and roll heroes are aging out, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, even then, 67, it's not exactly like you're an old timer yet.
Right.
Most people can live another 20 years easily with a very healthy lifestyle. And it didn't seem to me like Fry. I know there was a lot of indulgence in the 70s. There was, the band freely admitted that the cocaine and other things were flying around. But from what I could gather, they fairly healthy lifestyles the last 20 odd years. And then, this was, as you said, natural causes. This is something that can affect. It does affect a lot of people, and Fry was battling it his entire life, basically, as we found out. It wasn't like a huge public thing, but clearly he had some issues with this, and it finally caught up with him too young,
And it was rheumatoid arthritis and ulcerative colitis.
Right. It's quite a win. I can only imagine this was not pleasant on any level for him. Mm-hmm. It's not a happy way to go, that's for sure.
So about his legacy, there obviously, you've got that ascendancy of the Eagles as a country crossover guitar band in the 1970s. They changed the sound of American music. They tried to make sort of a folksy rhythm to what the Beach Boys were doing. Just a fascinating thing. And they came together, as I understand it, was Jackson Browne and J.D. Souther and Glenn Fry, along with Don Henley at some points. And they were all trying to figure out what to do with Linda Ronstadt, is my understanding of how this whole thing kind of came together. Because she was seen as like the sort of an it girl, and they were in her band, and they were trying to figure out to write for her. And then Henley and Fry getting together was really the magical moment, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, Henley and Fry were part of that band along with Randy Meisner and Bernie Ledden. So the core of the Eagles was basically that band. And I think they became a band, because Henley and Fry knew each other, but they didn't know Meisner. They didn't know Ledden. And, they were put together as Linda Ronstadt's kind of super this new superstar backing band, even though none of the guys had really done anything. up to that point. But they really became a band on the road, and as soon as they got off the road with Linda Ronstadt, they were signed to a deal by Asylum, David Geffen, you know, who was kind of like the kingpin of that whole California singer-songwriter scene, signed them to his label. And as you said, Jackson Browne wrote the bulk of Take It Easy, which Fry sang the lead vocals on for the on the Eagles' first record, and it was their breakthrough single in 1972.
Yeah.
And Fry and Jackson were roommates at the time. You know, Fry said he learned a lot about songwriting listening to Jackson Browne writing songs in his bedroom. So,
right.
You know, oh, I kind of like that Take It Easy song. Let's let me see if I can do something with that. You
right.
know, and that's how it worked.
And there were a couple changes between, and Jackson Browne then released it a couple years after the Eagles released it, trying to recoup his own single. And Jackson Browne had, you know, he had Doctor My Eyes, he had a bunch of other stuff that had kind of hit in between, but he wanted everybody to know that was his song. I mean, and that to this day still troubles him, I think. You know, you hear it in interviews and in concerts with him. He still has sort of a, you know, I think he's one of those guys who feels a little like left on the side of the road compared to what the Eagles obviously did. And the Eagles, you know, as a piece of business, when you stop and you think about the Hell Freezes Over tour, which was what, 1994, 95, whenever that,
yeah,
that occurred. They were the first act ever to get $300 average ticket price.
Gosh.
At a concert, right?
Oh yeah. And, well, it was over 100. I don't know about 300.
300 was top. I'm sorry, 300 was top.
Just shocking, you know, reactions to the fact that they were charging over $100 a ticket, and of course they got it. I mean, I went to they played their first tour, and as part of their tour, they played in Tinley Park, that big the big amphitheater,
yeah,
out there. And, you know, I remember, you know, I basically did a calculation of the dollar amount per hit, you know, on that show, which was, I got to say, I was not appreciated by the Eagles. I did get a phone call from Don Henley the next day about the sarcasm in my review. So it obviously struck a bone. But at the time, you know, $50 was considered like big dollars for a big arena show. I mean, even the Stones weren't charging that kind of money. And mm-hmm. here come the Eagles, you know, way over the top of 100, and getting it. You know,
people
that was the thing. People paid it. And they basically, you know, raised the bar on how much you could charge for a big outdoor show. And that sort of began this whole, you know, ridiculous pricing for rock concerts era that we still are in the middle of.
You know, Don Henley, his fellow founding member of the Eagles, put out this statement. You probably saw it. He talked about how they were like family and there was dysfunction, but the bond we forged 45 years ago is never broken. Even during the 14 years the Eagles were dissolved. Talk about that, his decision to go solo and then, you know, the chemistry between these extremely talented guys.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole solo thing was, you know, born of necessity. I think they really hated each other's guts. I mean, Henley and Fry were joined at the hip. I mean, they were living together. They were, you know, hanging out in Laurel Canyon together. They were having these long conversations. The songs were spinning out of it. They had a tremendous run. And then they just wore each other out, and the rest of the band, for that matter, too. I mean, Joe Walsh, I mean, still, you know, just kind of gives you a wink every time you talk about the Eagles. He says, he basically said, hey, I'm in it for the money, man.
Right.
You know, it's like, I'm not in it because I love these guys. But, you know, it's like, you know, your job. You know, you don't
right.
necessarily have to love your boss to work at a place, right? I mean, people say that all the time. I think the band got to be like that. The money became too great to you know, to turn your back on. I dug up a quote that Fry gave the Tribune back in the early 90s. This is 2 years before the reunion. Said, there's absolutely no way I'm getting back together with these guys. You know, we really can't stand each other. We wore that out. I see the only reason to possibly do this is because the money is too great to turn your back on. Well, eventually, when you get $100 a seat, you know, you say, okay, I'll do it for that. You know, I'll suck it up and do it for
yeah,
that.
And which, and
I'll
think,
show up.
And I think that's how that happened, too. Was it, all right,
yeah.
Everybody wanted, you know, their slice of that pie. And the only way to get that slice of the pie was to go at the average of $100 a seat. And then next thing you know, you know, they got it, and it did change everything. And there is something special about them together, though, you know. And Timothy B. Schmidt, who joined the band sort of, you know, in the early mid part of the you know, their ascendancy, you know, between he and the differences that they made there vocally, the harmonies are, I mean, they're ethereal.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely had a sound. I mean, a lot of people put the weight on Henley and Fry for the songwriting, and obviously they deserve a lot of credit because they did write those great melodies. They just had a knack for it, but the harmonies were a huge part of it. Ledden and Meisner were a very big part of that band early on. I mean, people who appreciate those early albums were just, I think the musicianship that those two guys brought was incredibly underrated. And then later on, Don Felder and then finally Joe Walsh were extraordinary rock guitarists. I mean, the indelible part of that Hotel California song is those two guys going at it, where you can basically sing those guitar solos. I mean, that was as big a hook in the song as any of the vocal harmonies were.
Right.
So there were a lot of moving parts in that band that really did mesh, and it was a unique chemistry. I mean, we can make fun of them all we want, and I feel sad to admit this, but the first memory that popped in my mind when I heard that Glenn Frey was dead was that line from The Big Lebowski, you know, where, I hate the frickin' Eagles, you know. It was one of those, Jeff Bridges lines that you go, here's this schlumpy hippie, and he goes, you know, they weren't as good as Creedence, man, you know. And it made me laugh, and I felt bad about it. But there was a lot of people who did loathe the Eagles because they represented that whole mellow, laid-back California singer-songwriter thing in the 70s. But I got to say, there's a reason those songs held up. I mean, for decades and
albums,
decades,
absolutely.
People.
Hotel California as an album, and the social criticism and all those things that it was about, still hold up today. When you think about the realities, they were singing about what their lives were like, and the lives of excess. Right, and that's
way,
pretty cool.
Way more exciting than my life, I got to tell you that. But the thing was, they were bringing an air of cynicism to the whole thing. They weren't, bright sunshine boys. You know, there was a real darkness on a lot of those songs.
Right. It was the Beach Boys. Basically they were inverting the whole California thing and looking back on it. And I thought that's their greatest thing. Though I got to go back to that thing where Don Henley's calling you out for talking about commercialism. I mean, here's Don Henley who writes a song about how the white man ruined Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, it's like he's like, hey, right. I can't believe, we need $100 a ticket, man.
And what did he say? We deserved it? Or what was the justification? Or he just didn't like the criticism?
Well, yeah, I think it was more that, it's worth it, that kind of thing. And, why don't you just, McCartney gave the best answer I ever got to a question like that. You know, he kind of hummed and hawed and, kind of was trying to come up with an answer. He goes, all right, I admit it. I'm a capitalist. I like making money. Tough luck if you don't like the amount that I'm charging. It's like one of those deals. Yeah, if the market bears it, why not charge it? I think the flip side of that is, some kid who was into the Eagles because of his parents' record collection is never going to be able to afford to go to a show like that.
Right.
And, at the end of the day, I don't think Glenn Frey really cares about your kid. It's like he wants to wear Italian Gucci loafers. The priorities were completely different from what the 60s and 70s hippies were supposedly espousing, And I think people kind of soured on them from that standpoint. They were not particularly likable guys, or they didn't seem that way. And at the same time, you realize, Glenn Frey was involved in a ton of charities. He got involved in a lot of charity work over his life. And, there was a side to that guy that we didn't see. But I think the public side of the Eagles' legacy was somewhat tarnished because of the attitude that, hey, these guys are greed heads and they don't really care about the average fan, who can or cannot afford their show. We're in it for the money, guys, and we don't care about you.
So I want to go back to this Henley quote, too, which is interesting.
It is.
He was like a brother to me. We were family. And like most families, there was some dysfunction. That may be an understatement. That might be slightly underplayed. But the bond we forged 45 years ago was never broken, even during the 14 years the Eagles were dissolved. We were two young men who made the pilgrimage to Los Angeles with the same dream to make our mark in the music industry. With perseverance and deep love of music, our alliance with other great musicians and our manager, Irving Azoff, we built something that has lasted longer than anyone could have dreamed.
And they made a lot of money.
Yeah, they made a lot of money, and you know, my reaction is like blah 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 blah, and I don't think you meant too much of that, but you know, it's the thing you're supposed to say when somebody dies. And at the same time, nobody's going to care what I think or anybody else thinks, because 30 years from now or 50 years from now, people are still going to be playing those songs and liking them. You know, those five or six records they made in the 70s, you know, those melodies hold up. Take It Easy, I hate to admit this, but I think I know the song Take It Easy by heart. I could probably sing every line.
Right, that's true.
At a bar and a sing-along, and I've done it a few times.
Flatbed Ford.
It's one of those songs that you just can't get out of your head,
right,
whether you want to or not. It's a great song.
I don't think a wedding is complete unless you have an Eagles song. And, you know, I mean, you got to have an Eagles song, at least one or two.
And they had a song for every mode, you know. It was like you had a rock song, but you also had, you know, you had the Hotel Californias, you had the Life in the Fast Lanes kind of songs, and then you had the ballads, you know, the Peaceful Easy Feeling and Tequila Sunrise type of vibe that they had as well.
And Desperado, which is still one
right.
of those. It's a showstopper because they end on it almost exclusively now. And it is, and they stand out there. You know, however many of them that can stand each other to stand in this echelon formation as they stand on the stage with their acoustics out and they do Desperado. It's a pretty moving moment. It's a pretty great moment in the history of rock and roll. And Glenn Frey, you know, I mean, there was a lot left. There was some tour left in Glenn Frey before he passed away today at the age of 67. Greg Kot, thanks very much. We can
thanks,
read
Greg.
You. Is your story up at Tribune.com?
It should be. If it's not, it will be any minute. So I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, Greg, thanks very much, man.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long.